up on the front row, I didn't speak Spanish at the time. I do now. I can preach in Spanish. But at the time, I didn't preach in Spanish. So a guy named Arturo was there with me that was interpreting. Thank God I went down to Mexico in 98, and he showed up at the door one evening and said that he felt a call to ministry. And so he was my interpreter the whole year. So we were standing there in the front row of this church in Mexico, and there's one guy leading praise and worship. And his guitar is out of tune. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as preaching in those small churches down there with a guitar that was in tune. I don't know why. It was out of tune, but a string broke in the middle of praise and worship. And it was like, boom, the string just snapped. He didn't say anything to the congregation, nothing. And we're sitting there, there's probably 20 of us. We're all standing there, actually. And he didn't say a word. And he just kind of looks around, and he grabs his guitar and walks around back. They had a door. And then for like 3 or 4 minutes, you hear banging and stuff falling over. And then after about 2 or 3 minutes, you hear, dwang, 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 dwang. And he just put a string on his guitar, and he's tuning the guitar in the back room, and the whole we're all standing there like, it was like seriously awkward. And I'm like begging my interpreter, like, dude, go up there and say something and pray. He's like, it's not my church, I can't. I was like, it doesn't matter if it's not your church. Just, we can't stand here with nothing. So I've learned how to be thankful for praise and worship. So give the praise team another hand clap tonight. Amen. Amen. Another heads up, Killer Instinct of Faith. It's a double feature DVD. It's got two messages on one DVD and then some a highlight reel of some healings. This will be out in the new year. We'll have it for sale. $15, you get two messages on one DVD. It'll bless your life. So turn with me to Joshua chapter 14. A few weeks ago, I preached, it's going to explode in 2018. And this is basically part two. I thought about titling it, it's going to explode in 2019, but that just didn't quite make sense. So a little joke there. Tonight's message is possess your mountain in 2018. Possess your mountain in 2018. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 14. And we will start in verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, you know the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Caleb hasn't forgotten what took place. He hasn't forgotten the word that God gave him. And he also hasn't forgotten how he had been faithful to fight the fight of faith. I mean, how many of you have distant memories? Caleb, by the way, was 85 years old when he's telling this in verse 6. He was 85. So the story that he's telling took place when he was 40. So this is 45 years down the road. And Caleb hasn't forgotten how faithful he was. It's important to remember how faithful God has been. But how many of you, if you just be a little honest, maybe not so humble right now, you just realize, hey, I've been faithful too to the call of God in my life. You don't have to raise your hand, or you can if you want. I'm just toying with you a little bit. But you know, sometimes you just have to admit, hey, I've stood the test of time. I've fought the fight of faith. I didn't duck and run when other people ran, and I'm still here, praise God. If you're still here in 2017, just give yourself a hand clap. Amen, because you're going into 2018 strong. And so Caleb here is reminding the leadership, Joshua, of the word that he had from Moses 45 years before. And I'm here to tell you that God has not forgotten the word that he has given you. It doesn't matter how long. It doesn't matter all the things that have taken place. It doesn't matter if leadership has changed because Moses wasn't there to make sure it happened anymore. It doesn't matter if 45 years has gone by. If you have been faithful, then God has not forgotten you, praise God. And he still has that thing for you. And I believe that you're going to see a lot of things take place in 2018 that God has been building up in you for years and years gone by. Hallelujah. Caleb here is reminding Joshua of the word. He said in verse 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me out from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And what a difference the report of fear makes compared to the report of faith, if you know the story behind the story here. In verse 9, Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land whereon your feet have trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord your God." And now, actually, the Lord my God is what Moses said. What a great place to be when you can call him the Lord my God. Hallelujah. In verse 10, "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now I am this day 85 years. I'm 85 years old. In verse 11, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." Hallelujah. That reminds me of those old Rocky movies, you know, how he starts off in round 1 and by round 13, he's getting stronger. That's the way a Christian is when you're fighting the fight of faith. When you're standing against something impossible, when you're doing something, whatever, everything God's called you to do, you just get stronger as the fight goes on. That's what makes the devil so mad about a Christian that won't quit. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you're getting stronger as the fight goes on. Hallelujah. And verse 11, I want to read that again. "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." I like the spirit that Caleb has, because he wasn't just coming up with a welfare ticket saying, "Hey, give me, Joshua, this land over here. And by the way, Joshua, go get all your armies and go clear out the land for me, because, you know, I deserve this. I've earned it." No, he was ready to fight the fight of faith. After 45 years of having stood in faith, after 45 years of having believed God and stayed faithful and been through thick and thin, he was still ready to fight the fight of faith. He was still strong. I'm telling you, this guy was still sharp. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, what God has for you in 2018, you're going to get it, but you still got to be strong. It's not going to be handed over to you. This is not a welfare society, but God has given you the land. God has given you a mountain, and it is a good mountain. It is a mountain of blessing. It is a mountain of breakthrough in 2018, and it is the very thing that he has been speaking to you for years gone by. It may have been a year ago. It may have been 10 years ago. It may have been 20 years ago. It may have been 45 years ago, like it was with Caleb. But God has given that to you, praise God. He has not forgotten. He has not let go, and he is still there waiting on you to step into the promise that he has for you. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, your fight of faith is going to get the job done. But I want to encourage you right now to come into 2018 wielding the sword of the Spirit, praying the Word of God. It's the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Come into 2018 ready to fight the fight of faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because 2018 is going to be a year of increase. It's going to explode in 2018. Hallelujah. 2018 is going to make sense of the past few years for a lot of people. If that's you, just say praise God. 2018 is going to make sense of the last few years for a lot of people. Hallelujah. I like Caleb's spirit, man. This guy was ready to fight. Too many Christians aren't ready to fight. I'm telling you, it's one of the hardest things in the world is to get a comfortable American Christian real serious about prayer. We just want to pray 3 or 4 minutes a day. Throw up a few Hail Marys and, well, I'm blessed in Jesus' name. And we want to get the Bible. We want to hear the teaching and have great teaching on prayer. Oh, praise God. We want to get all the Bible studies. We want to get all of the notes. We want to get all of the sermons. We want to get all the praise and worship on prayer that we can. But when it comes to praying, oh my gosh, I got to pray an hour. When was the last time you prayed an hour? Oh, air just got sucked out of the room up in this place. We got to be strong in prayer, praise God. We got to be like Caleb. This is not a welfare society. I'm telling you, I believe that you have a Caleb spirit here tonight. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here the Wednesday before Christmas. I believe that you've got a Caleb spirit. I believe that you are somebody that is going to fight the fight of faith. That on the inside, if we could give you a mic, you'd be saying right now, I am as strong as I was 20 years ago when God first gave me the promise. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what mistakes you've made. I don't care how many things have gone wrong in your life. You can still possess everything that God has for you. You can still take a hold of it, and it's still going to be a great 2018 for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you. I want to stir you up tonight that 2018 is full of the promises of God for you. Hallelujah. It's chock full of the promises and the blessing of God. So get a hold of your faith. Stir yourself up like Caleb. Praise God. You may need to pray this over yourself and say, yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that God first spoke to me. This is the way you can pray verse 11 over you. And my strength, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war both to go out and to come in. In verse 12, and now that I almost thought Pastor Bob wrote this verse, but it was actually about Caleb. This is Pastor Bob's verse right here. I'm sure he's watching. Pastor, this is your verse. Verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakims were there, so that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord is with me, then shall I be able to drive them out as the Lord said. What a statement. I'm telling you, it's like I said, it's not a welfare thing. He is ready to drive out the enemy. He says, if the Lord's with me, I'm going to drive out the enemy there. I'm telling you, there are going to be enemies in 2018 coming against you. But hey, welcome to life. That's just the way it is. You're going to defeat those enemies in the name of Jesus, and you are going to possess your mountain in 2018. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody praise God for that right now. You are going to possess your mountain in 2018 in the name of Jesus. You're going to drive out the Anakins, those giants that are in the land. You're going to drive them out. Hallelujah. Victory is yours. Glory to God. Drive them out. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Don't think that just because you got a prophetic word and 2018 is going to explode that there ain't going to be any enemies. There are going to be challenges, but you are more than a conqueror in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And you can do it. This is exactly how you're going to do it. Hallelujah. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord is with me, then I will be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. In verse 13, Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for his inheritance. So you're going to possess your mountain in 2018. Caleb possessed your mountain and said, give me this mountain. I want you to say that right now. Say, give me this mountain. What is it that God has spoken to you? What is the desire of your heart? What is it that you need? You may need a house in 2018. You may need deliverance for something in 2018. You may need a financial a blessing and increase in 2018. It's time for you to start saying, give that to me. Hallelujah. It may sound a little selfish, but there comes a point. God loves you. He has given these things to you, and you have a right to take a hold of this and claim it and fight the fight of faith, praise God, and say, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain of prosperity. Give me this mountain of blessing. Give me this mountain of increase. Give me this mountain of revival, praise God, in 2018. And God's going to give it to you. Praise God. It's going to be a great, 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 awesome year. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we're going to look at Abraham. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Abraham got a mountain too. Verse 1, I'm just going to read there. Going to do a little bit of reading. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Well, that's, the Lord knew how hard this was going to be. And get to the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you of. Now, just let me read this again and explain. God, if you don't already know this very well, God is coming to Abraham and saying, Abraham, take your one son. Abraham only had one son. And he said, whom you love, and take him up to Mount Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering. Now, this wasn't figuratively, this wasn't something that you can do online. This was put the boy on an altar, kill him and burn him as a sacrifice, just like you would any of the animals in the book of that later on they wrote in the book of Leviticus as a burnt offering. This is a huge, huge sacrifice. And God is asking Abraham to do this. So look at what Abraham does in verse 3. He rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and got wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the donkey, and I will, and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. So Abraham has just told the young men that he's traveling with, stay here, and my son and I are going to come and go and worship, and we will return. So Abraham already had an element of faith. He already knew something was going to take place. Now, there's nowhere here in chapter 22 where God actually told Abraham, because he didn't tell Abraham. He didn't tell Abraham that you're going to kill Isaac and I'm going to raise him from the dead. He didn't tell Abraham that there's going to be a ram in the thicket and that God will provide himself a sacrifice. He didn't say these things. Abraham knew this by faith. I want to tell you right now that God may not tell you everything. He doesn't have to tell you everything, but your faith will know what's going to happen. Somehow, some way, you know what the end result is. Your faith, I'm telling you, your faith is right on track. Don't get discouraged. Don't get dissuaded because you don't see things in the natural looking like what they should look like. I'm telling you, your faith is right on track. You may have a gut instinct that says, I don't know why God hasn't actually spoken to me about this specific thing, but I just know that this is going to work out. I know that something is going to happen. I know that increase is going to take place, and I know that my family is going to get turned around for the glory of God. I just know that this is going to happen. You see, faith gets to the place where you know the nature of God and you know what He is going to do, and God doesn't have to tell you everything. People that don't really know the Lord will whine and cry, kind of like a little baby whines and cries all the time and is always needing to be comforted about every single little thing. But as you grow older in the things of God, you begin to know the Lord and you begin to know, hey, I know how this is going to turn out. Well, did God tell you? No, He didn't tell me. He didn't have to tell me everything. I know the Lord and I know what He's going to do. How did Abraham know this? Well, you know what? It comes back to a word. The word, what is the word that God has spoken to you? Well, I backslid over the last 5 years. That word doesn't apply anymore. Yes, it does. It doesn't matter if you've lived the best life in the world or the worst life in the world for the last period of time. What is the word that God has given you? Well, it's been too long. That was 45 years ago. Oh, wait a minute. We just read in Joshua chapter 14 how a word that was 45 years old came to pass. So it's not too late. God has given you a word and He has given you a call and He has given you a direction and He is not going to let that thing die no matter what. Even if He appears to you like He did with Abraham and says, go put the whole thing on the altar and offer it as a burnt sacrifice. I don't know how God's going to do it, but He is going to raise that thing up for the glory of God. And it is not going to be raised up at one fold just one time over, but He is going to raise it up multiplied thousands of times over, greater than it was before you sowed it, greater than it was before you sacrificed it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Abraham knew his faith was working. I'm telling you tonight, your faith is working. I'm going to tell you again tonight, every person in this place, your faith is working. And what you feel in your gut, your spiritual gut, sometimes I don't know how else to say it any better than that because I don't have a huge gut, but I got a spiritual gut. If you could look at me in the spirit, I got a big gut. I tell Riley that, I'm like, Riley, I don't know, but I just know my spiritual gut. This is what's going to happen. This is going to work. It's going to happen. I just know it's going to work. Like through the month of November, we were believing God that it was going to be a financially abundant December. Everything in the world was pointing towards the opposite. But it's been an abundant December for Riley and me. Praise God. Did God come and tell me that? No, but all of a sudden I just sensed something. Riley sensed it, bore witness, and we were praying. We knew it in our spiritual gut, for lack of a better term. Well, Abraham knew in his spiritual gut, and he told the lads that something that God didn't even have to tell him. He said, we're going to go and worship, and we're coming back. Praise God. Hallelujah. So your faith is working. What you feel in your gut, in your spiritual gut, is right on. Hallelujah. And you can move on that. You can trust God. And God is going to reward your faith. God is looking for people that know Him well enough, that trust Him enough, that they will move in faith without having to be told every little thing to do. And you can do that. And God, why? Because God trusts you. I'm going to tell you again, God trusts you. We put all the emphasis on us trusting God, which is very important, but I want you to know that God trusts you tonight. He trusts you because you know Him. He trusts you to know His nature and to know how faith is going to work. And He's put things into your hands, and you just know and you move on that. It's going to happen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. He said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. In verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built there an altar and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham, verse 10, stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. So just in case you haven't been paying attention as close as you should, if this was an altar, if Isaac's right here and this is a knife, Abraham is like this and he's ready to plunge that thing into his son and make the ultimate sacrifice. How in the world can you believe God in a situation like that? How in the world can faith remain strong? Well, I'm going to tell you how right now. Abraham had promises, and I just had to write all these down because there were so many. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I want you to read these. You say, Caleb had a word that was 45 years old, but Abraham also had a word. He had many words. And God had been working faith into Abraham over a period of time, because at one point when God gave Abraham the promise of Isaac, before Isaac was born, Abraham laughed. At another point, God gave the promise of Isaac to his wife Sarah, and she laughed before he was born because they were old. They're like 99 years old. There's no way you can have a baby at that age. But faith was being worked into Abraham. Let's look in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And you will be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you. And so there in verse 2, you see it right there. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. So there's the first promise. Let's look at the second one, chapter 13, verse 14. In almost every chapter here, chapter 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, to you will I give it, and to your seed forever. And I will make your seed, which is going to be Isaac, as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall your seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, the breadth of it, and I will give it unto you. So there it is again, another promise that his seed would be as the dust of the earth. So how did Abraham, how in Genesis chapter 22 can he follow through in faith and know that God is going to provide and do something that God hadn't spoken to him about? Why? Because God had spoken to him about something else, that Isaac and his, in his seed Isaac, that God was going to bless Abraham and that it was going to be multiplied as the sands of the sea, to where if anybody could number the sands of the sea, they could count Abraham's seed coming out of Isaac. So Abraham knew that the word God had spoken him, that could not be countered, it could not be stopped, even if God himself was asking Abraham to lay Isaac up on the altar. So no matter what God is telling you to do in 2018, no matter what kind of big step God is telling you to take, I'm telling you, it is going to work. It's going to pay off. It may look totally impossible, but that is the very thing that is going to bring to pass what you're believing God to do. And it is not going to, you are not sacrificing, you're not sacrificing the promise of God for your life. You're sowing a seed that is going to produce a harvest. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me read this to you. Abraham wasn't sacrificing his word. He was possessing it in Genesis chapter 22. It looked like he was sacrificing Isaac on the altar. It looked like he was sacrificing everything that his dream and all of his desires were about to get sacrificed. He was putting it all up and about to kiss it goodbye. But he was not sacrificing his word. He was possessing it. Hallelujah. All the words that God had spoken to Abraham leading up through these chapters, I'm not going to read the rest of them, but Genesis 15, chapter 15, verses 4 through 6, chapter 17, verses 19 and 21, and then chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. All those times God promised to Abraham, through Isaac will your seed be blessed. So Abraham knew, his faith was alive, and he knew that even though he was sacrificing Isaac up on the altar, that it was not going to cost him his son. Somehow God was going to work. And in the midst of that kind of an impossibility, I want to tell you right now that somehow God is going to make it work for you in 2018. That Abraham is in verse chapter 22 was in the most impossible situation. You could not write it up any worse than what he was doing. He was the one putting a knife to his son, but somehow God brought it through. And God is going to bring it through for you in 2018. Hallelujah. The promise that he has spoken over the past several years, the things that haven't made sense, the reason God has been speaking and speaking and speaking is because it's so big, it's taken all this time for it to grow up on the inside of you. And it is going to work. Hallelujah. It's going to take place in your life. God's going to bring the increase. God's going to bring the healing. God's going to bring the revival. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody praise God tonight. No matter how impossible it looks, it's going to work. And I'm telling you, there is a faith on the inside of you that can believe in the middle and in the face of impossibility like you may not even understand. But I'm telling you, it is on the inside of you, and you can do it. I'm telling you, God has got big steps for you to take in 2018. It's big steps. I'm telling you, it's not a baby step. Forget the baby step. God has big steps for you to take. You got to be like Caleb and say, Joshua, give me this mountain. I'm 85. I'm just as strong as I was 45 years ago, and I'm taking a big step right now. It's time for every single one of you tonight to take a big step in 2018. It's going to work. Hallelujah. Well, I don't think it's going to work because I've been trying to step out on that for 10 or 15 years. The reason it's taken so long is not because you have experienced a faith failure. It's because God has been building your faith to this point because it's so big. Abraham, if you study through all these chapters, many of you already know this, as God was speaking to him, he laughed. And Sarah, as I said, she laughed in response and said, how could this be? We're too old to have a baby. And they struggled with belief, and then they created Ishmael, which we still kind of regret to this day. So his faith was growing. God wasn't speaking these things to Abraham and waiting year after year to tease him and to give him a promise of something that was not going to come to pass. God was doing that so his faith would grow and get stronger and get stronger. And I'm telling you right now, over the last several years, whatever period of time it has been for you, that it's looked like it's impossible. The devil's trying to tell you right now that it has not happened because your faith has failed. But I'm telling you that's a lie from the pit of hell. Your faith has not failed. It's been taking place, and it's been taking such a long period of time Because God has been building and strengthening your faith to get you to the place like Abraham was in Genesis 22, where you can do something that is totally radical in obedience to the Lord and know that God is still going to come through. That's what God's been doing. Your faith is stronger than you think it is. I think you may need to write that down. Everybody taking notes. Your faith is stronger than you think it is. Hallelujah. Your faith is stronger than you think it is. Everybody watching online, your faith is stronger than you think it is. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Abraham had years and years of preparation to get into the place of possessing his mountain because he went up on the mountain there at Moriah. Caleb hadn't forgotten and hadn't grown weary. I'm just going to read you some things here. Three things on possessing it by faith. You've got to receive it in faith, receiving in faith, giving in faith, and praying in faith. I'm going to talk to you about this for just a few minutes and then I'm going to wrap this up. Possessing it by faith, receiving it in faith. Abraham, the reason, I want you to, you've got to understand this is so important right here. The reason Abraham was able to give Isaac in faith is because he had already received Isaac in faith. In other words, Abraham had already received the promise that God was going to multiply his seed through Isaac. And that was so sure in the heart of Abraham that it wasn't an impossibility for Abraham to give Isaac. When you have received the promise of God in faith, then you have the ability to give in the realm of the natural. Oh, I think about half of you missed that one right there. When you have received the harvest and the promise of God in faith, when it is fully developed on the inside of your heart and on the inside of your life over a period of time, when that has grown to fruition, when you have received that in faith, then you are ready to give in the realm of the natural. What you receive in the realm of the Spirit by faith prepares you and gets you to a place where you can make the ultimate sacrifice and take the ultimate step of faith for what God is telling you to do. And you can give something that is greater than you ever could have given before. Abraham never could have given Isaac before. You study through the previous chapters, his faith was not at that place. But he had grown to a place in his faith where he had received the promise of God deep down on the inside, and he knew nothing could stop that. Praise God. That's what God has wanted to do in your life, is get you to the place where the plan and the promise that he has given you has gotten so deep on the inside of you that you know nothing can take it away. And when you get to that point, I'm telling you, you are more dangerous to the devil than you have ever been. When you get to that point, you are more volatile and more crazy in the realm of the Spirit than anybody can ever imagine, because you will sow any seed, you will take any step of faith in obedience to God, because you know you can't lose what you've got because you've received it. Abraham had received the promise finally by faith. It was so solid in his heart. He was able to give everything. Even giving his son Isaac could not hinder his faith. That's why I wrote these three things: possessing it by faith, number one, receiving it in faith, and number two is giving in faith. And I teach, a lot of times we say that giving comes before receiving, and I teach and preach that too, but there is a time when your receiving actually has to come before your giving, because God's going to ask you to give something so big. He's going to ask you to do something so big that if you haven't already received a huge promise from God, and if it hasn't grown strong on the inside of you, you won't have the faith to give what he is wanting you to do. You would not have the faith to obey and do what he is telling you to do. But if, as you have been faithful with the promise of God, faithful to fight the fight of faith, you have received that. That is why Abraham could do what he did. That is why he could go through the act of sacrificing his own son, because he had received Isaac as his heir that was going to be multiplied as the sands of the sea to such a degree by faith that he could sacrifice him and go through that act. And it did not dissuade his faith at all. He knew somehow God was going to do it. He didn't know how, but God was going to make it happen. So he received it first, and then he could give it. Hallelujah. God has given you faith. He is imparting into you anointing and vision, and you are receiving right now. You are receiving what His plan is right now. And the more you receive from God, the more that you can give. Hallelujah. Because you know that's what makes giving such a joy. That's what makes giving such a joy. If giving is an act of fear, or if giving is a drab thing, a boring thing, or something you have a distaste for, it's because you have not received the promise of God of faith, by faith in your hearts, where you know, praise God, I get to give again. And you're looking, how much can we give in the month of December? How much can we give here towards the end of the year? What is something extra I can do? When you've gotten to that point where your giving is an excitement to you, then it's because you've received the promise of God and you know He's bringing a harvest. That's when your harvest is unstoppable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's some good preaching right there. You receive the promise of the Word, and then you're giving in the realm of the natural. You receive it in the Spirit, and then you can give in the natural. And that brings the breakthrough in your life in the realm of the natural. Praise God. Hallelujah. Possessing it by faith, you first receive it by faith. Number two, you give in faith. Under receiving by faith, when your faith is ready to receive supernaturally, your giving automatically becomes supernatural. It's not about what you can earn, and you don't have to write all this down. I just want to give it to you here. It's not about what you can earn. It's about what you can receive. Now, you may want to write that one down. It's not about what you can earn. It's about what you can receive. Number two, giving in faith. Get there by giving. Possess your mountain by giving, not working. Now, still work. I'm not saying don't work. Somebody said, oh, praise God, I don't have to work. I can go back onto spiritual welfare. No, you still got to work. But working is not your priority. Make your advancement in the kingdom of God, the way you do that, number one, by giving. Get there by giving, not by working. Still work, but have your highest priority on your giving. And number three is receiving in faith, giving in faith. Number three, praying in faith. Praying in faith. Caleb was ready to fight. You must be ready to pray. Your prayer life must be as strong as ever. This is the last thing I'm going to say. Stop complaining about what you can't change in the natural and start praying and change it by supernatural power. So I'll read that again to you. Stop complaining about what you can't change in the natural and start praying and change it by supernatural power. God has given you the power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to possess your mountain in 2018. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Possess your mountain in 2018. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, when you're done writing, let's just stand up and we'll praise God and just pray for a minute. And you'll be dismissed in about 7 or 8 minutes. Just hang on for a few. We're going to receive an offering for our ministry. Hallelujah. But first, let's just take a minute and pray, because I think you need to get this word into your spirit. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for speaking and touching every single person in the name of Jesus. I declare over you that you're going to possess your mountain in 2018. That you're going to increase. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you can remain seated if you'd like. That's fine, too. Why don't you just pray in tongues for a minute right now. Say, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Show me what you want me to, what you want me to say, what you want me to pray, what you want me to give. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Well, once you grab your seat, we'll be finished here in just a second. I want to invite you to, and ask you to give into our ministry, Harvest Ministries. You'll write your check out if you have a check to Calvary Cathedral. And do your best tonight. Hallelujah.